All right. Well, good morning. I know it's still, would you believe this is week 8 we've done this? Wow. Oh, they all run together, don't they? How many of you even didn't realize it was Sunday this morning? Anybody? Any of you? Wow. There's like no hands going up. Oh, there's no one here. That's why. That makes a whole lot of sense. Well, we are glad to see you. We do have a couple of announcements and things that we want to say as we kind of move on with our service here this morning. The first thing is that we've been taking up our invest offering and our spring invest. For those of you that maybe aren't familiar with what our invests are, multiple times a year we take up a missions offering that we call invest. The reason why that we call it an invest is it's more than just an offering. We're investing more than just our money. We want to invest our lives and our prayers and everything into missions and in reaching this world for Jesus. Now, our spring invest is all focused on North American missions. Part of that goes for the Annie Armstrong Easter offering, which is the Southern Baptist missions offering for North America. Part of that is for our own direct missions offering as well, too. And there are just so many amazing things that God is doing in North America. Now, our invest is going to end this week, so this is your last week to get in on your spring invest. So please give us your checks, send in your money. If you haven't already done that, you can do the online giving and pay for it there. So far, I'm not totally sure what the total is, but I know we hit 2,025 earlier this week, and so we've passed the 2,000 mark. So thank you for giving. Just know that if you want to give, give in this week, and we'll give you a total next week of what our invest ended at, and kind of go from there. So, but the other thing that I have to announce is, well, a couple other things. One is there's still no Wednesday night church. There's no mops. There's no nothing going on. But we do have a plan for reopening, and we don't have anything we can share with you today. But hang tight. We'll give you more information next week, and hopefully we're in process. We're looking at the minimum standards. We're hoping to do all that sometime soon. But one other thing that we do want to say is Happy Mother's Day. Even if you're not a mother, it's still Mother's Day, so we can still wish you happy. That's like saying Happy Tuesday, isn't it? You know, like Happy Mother's Day to everybody out there. Moms, we love you very much, and we need you way more than we realize in our lives. And we just had Howard Payne, they finished up this week, and several of our Howard Payne students have graduated, and we're praying for you guys, and we're still lifting you guys up. And so many of our high school students are going to be graduating, and later on this month, we hope, we're crossing our fingers, you know, and going from there. But we always need our moms. Now, there's a brand new piece of technology just for when mom's not even there. Did you know you can now have mom there? So we have the mom personal assistant. We have this little video we want.
Well, it's finally happened. You've moved out. You're on your own. Congratulations. But everyone still needs a little help sometimes.
Mom, have you seen my wallet?
It's in your back pocket.
Nah, I checked there.
Your other back pocket, dear.
Ah. Thanks, Mom.
Introducing the Mom Personal Assistant, the only smart speaker device with all the wisdom, caring, and sage advice of a mother.
Mom, please call Brad.
Honey, I'm just not sure he's right for you.
Just call him.
Okay, calling Ryan.
No, Mom, I said call Brad.
Trust me.
The Mom PA always has your best interests in mind.
Wish me luck, Mom. Big interview today.
Did you eat breakfast? Is that what you're wearing?
Wait, what?
Did you even shower?
She's there to provide a helping hand whenever you need it.
Mom, set a timer for 40 minutes. Mom?
The Mom Personal Assistant won't function until you say the magic word.
Oh, right. Mom, please set a timer for 40 minutes.
Sure thing, hon, but it's only 30 minutes for that dish.
The Mom PA is always correct and basically knows everything.
Mom, what setting should I use for this laundry?
Mom, do you think I should color my hair?
Hey, Mom, can you please order mac and cheese?
You still have 2 boxes.
What? No, we're out.
Did you look?
Yeah, I just looked. It's gone.
Do you want me to look?
No, it's okay. I'll go look again.
Try looking with your eyes this time.
Based on God's perfect design, the Mom Personal Assistant is thoughtful, kind, encouraging, and supportive.
You are beautiful. It's okay. You're gonna get through this. I am so proud of you. You can change the world. But right now, hon, you really need to change your socks because they smell like a dumpster.
Ugh, Mom.
The Mom Personal Assistant. Always helpful, always reliable, and always there for you.
Yeah, it's the mom's personal assistant. I still need one of those, right? Moms, you have shaped us and you have made us into who we are today. And so we're so grateful for that. So, but as we kind of get into the sermon today, I don't know if you actually see the title screen on there, but some of you are going to be excited when you see this title screen because we did a series a while back called Remarkable Nobodies in the Bible. And I saved one for today, and we're going to be looking at that today. But what this series was is, well, we'll get into that in a minute. But I do want to tell you that one of those things that we've been doing the last 8 weeks of life this way is I've been sharing things that made me laugh throughout the week, the memes of the week that kind of help capture the way we are in this day and age. And I need my meme makers out there to step it up because they're getting less and less and people are getting tired of making these memes. But still, I found some that really made me laugh. And the first one is just simply this. This is the class of 2020 on their senior trip to Splash Mountain. Just an empty car with no people in it, you know, so that's kind of sad, right? But how many of you this identifies with this? It's pretty wild how we used to eat cake after someone had blown on it. Good times. Birthday cake, you know, someone blowing out candles on a birthday cake. Some of you look a little bit slow out there. Oh, wait, no, you're not here. I wouldn't know that. So this one's not just about quarantine life. This isn't just about this day and age. This is a parenting tip that is going for year-round, every year. This is what you need to do. The best way to hide snacks from kids during self-isolation, they put snacks inside a bag of vegetables, frozen vegetables, and then they sealed it up. That tip actually works. That's how Allison hides candy from me. It works. Now, it is Mother's Day, and it is a time where we have families and different things going on. And I don't know if this next one, is it already on the screen? It's already on the screen. Yeah, some of you might recognize this. This is very much, I could have written this meme. You know, it says, if my grandma was still alive, I wouldn't have to worry about COVID-19 because no one would come within 5 feet due to the smell of Vicks after she covered me in it, right? Anybody have that grandmother? Anybody is that grandmother? Let's see that there. You know, and then my favorite one this week, before we put it up on the screen here, my favorite one this week is those ladies that just love essential oils? Those ladies, if you are one of those ladies, we love you and we have a question for you. The question is just simply this. So a question for my essential oil friends. Which oil calms household family members down? Chloroform. It's chloroform, isn't it? So there you go. That was my favorite meme of the week, the chloroform to calm your family down. It works. A parenting tip for year round, right? Let me tell you about this series that we did a few weeks ago. If you're someone that lives outside of Brownwood and you're not able to worship with us, and we do have some of those that are watching, we did a series called Remarkable Nobodies in the Bible. And over this 20-week series, what we did was we took some of the stories and some of the people in the Bible that they're not the major characters in the story, but they're a minor character. They're a character that maybe they don't have any lines or anything that they actually said that we have recorded. Some of them we didn't even know their names. But these are people that, even though they're a minor character, have a major impact. And we've looked at all of these, and we spent 20 weeks looking at them. And today we're going to be talking about something a little bit different. We're going to be in 2 Timothy 1. I meant to have you go ahead and turn that way while we were looking at memes. And so you haven't had a chance to turn there, but turn to 2 Timothy 1, which is where we're going to be. And I want to start reading. In verse 1, it says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by God's will, for the sake of the promise of life in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly loved son, grace and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve with a clear conscience, as my ancestors did, when I constantly remember you in my prayers night and day. Remembering your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I recall your sincere faith that first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and now I am convinced is in you also. Therefore, I remind you to rekindle the gift of God that is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but one of power, love, and sound judgment. Now, I love this passage, and I love this incredible picture here. You have Paul, who's writing to Timothy, and I love that from the start of this thing, there's a couple of things you see about Paul. You actually see his love and his prayers. Did you kind of catch that? Notice here in verse 2, he says, Timothy, my dearly beloved son, my dearly loved son. That's a kind of beautiful picture. This is the second letter that Paul's written Timothy that we know of. And this is much stronger in a much better way. In the very first one, he goes, you're my son in the faith, which is still kind of cool if you think about it. But that's what Paul calls Timothy in 1 Timothy. But now in 2 Timothy, he calls him my dearly loved son. I just got to be honest. You know, if you kind of go, my son in the faith, or you go, my dearly loved son, which one sounds better? You know, I almost picture Timothy going, yeah, that's better, Paul. Woohoo! I want to be that dearly loved son, right? That's kind of the picture here. And it's not that Paul has loved Timothy even more now. I don't think it's anything like that. But Paul here, he's in prison. He's getting older. And as his life is drawing to a close, I think he's realizing in a deeper way just how important Timothy really truly was to him. And so he goes, look, I love this picture in verse 3. He says, I constantly remember you in my prayers, night and day. Imagine being Timothy and hearing from Paul that he is praying for you night and day, constantly praying for you. That's pretty amazing if you think about it. Paul not just loved Timothy, but he prayed for him. And this prayer isn't just a routine thing. You know, do you ever just have those prayers that you just throw up and you just say the same thing over and over again? It's just kind of like that little blanket prayer that you pray, right? It's not the picture that Paul is saying. Look, he's going, Timothy, look, man, I am going before the throne and I am praying for you. I am lifting you up day and night. I am constantly praying for you. And he loves Timothy and he prays for Timothy. I just want to take a little aside here to talk about one of the things Paul said, because notice what he said in verse 3. I thank God whom I serve with a clear conscience. Oh, man, I just want to pause there. That's an incredible statement. That's a phenomenal statement that Paul is making. He goes, the God that I serve with a clear conscience. You know what it takes to have a clear conscience? To say, I serve God with a clear conscience? It means you gave your all, every bit, every single day. Wow. It's a pretty amazing statement. He didn't just half-heartedly do it. He didn't just half-heartedly serve God, or just when it felt convenient, or just when he felt in the mood. He goes, I have given my all to God. And as part of all that, he takes this young guy, Timothy, who he loves and prays for constantly, and he takes him under his wing. But this remarkable nobody story isn't about Paul. So we need to quit talking about Paul. But you actually, in this passage, you see more than that. You see his tears and his faith. Did you kind of catch that in verses 4 and 5? This is what Paul says in verse 4. Remembering your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. Tears. You know, to me, some people go, Paul just called Timothy a crybaby. I'm not sure that's necessarily what he did, but there was at least one event, there was at least one thing that Paul and Timothy were there, and Timothy was emotional, and Timothy is crying, he has tears, and that's not always necessarily a bad thing to cry. It's not always necessarily a good thing, but it's usually more of a good thing than a bad thing, right? And here is Timothy that I don't think he's just some crybaby. He's not just this guy. You know those people that like cry even at everything, you know? They're like, what's wrong? There's this little baby bird out there and it was so cute. It was just... Sorry, I've got sinuses going on, right? That's the bad part about this day and age happening right now during allergy season. You know, you're going, I don't know if I'm suffering from allergies or if I have 5 days left to live. You know, you're trying to figure that whole thing out. But I don't think this is a case where Paul is saying to Timothy, man, you're just a crybaby. I think Paul is probably remembering something. He goes, I remember that event. I remember those tears. I remember that time when I was with you and you were so moved that you were moved to tears. It stuck out in Paul's mind. This great missionary. And notice that these are very two different people. Timothy is a young man. Paul is this great missionary. Paul has been all over the world. He's traveled all these different missionary journeys. He's now in prison in Rome for telling people about Jesus. But this incredible missionary, this great missionary goes, man, I remember how moved to tears you were. I remember how you felt. I remember thinking how amazing this young guy is, moved by his tears. But it wasn't just his tears. He says, I recall your sincere faith. He says, I bring that to mind. I can remember the things that you've said. I remember the things that you've done. I remember how inspirational your belief and your faith in God was to me. This great missionary talking to this kid, and he goes, man, you have inspired me with your faith. So you have, you know, Paul's love, his prayers. You've got Timothy's tears and his faith. But in reality, this sermon's not about Timothy either, so we need to keep on moving too. It's not about Paul. It's not about Timothy. So let's keep on going to the rest of verse 5, because it's truly about the remarkable influence of family. Notice what verse 5 says. I recall your sincere faith, the first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and now I am convinced is in you also. Did you kind of catch that picture here from it? First of all, you find out that there's a woman named Lois. She has a daughter named Eunice, who has a son named Timothy. And these people, Lois and Eunice and Timothy, have had incredible influence on the life of the greatest missionary that this world has ever seen. Their influence was so great that Paul is mentioning them by name, and he's listing them out there. You actually learn about them in other parts of the Bible as well, too. And their influence that these three had, that Lois had, that Eunice had, that helped raise up Timothy, and now Paul is taking Timothy under his wing here. They help equip him to be one of the first leaders in this worldwide movement that we call the church. And it all happened because of this incredible faith of Lois, who had a daughter Eunice that she loved, that she prayed for, that she invested in. And Eunice had a son named Timothy that she loved and she prayed for and she invested in. So here's the thing I want you to think about here for a minute. Families have remarkable influence on other family members. Timothy here, the guy that Paul goes, man, I remember you. You stick out. I remember you, and I recall the incredible faith you have. I recall the love you have. I recall the passion, the tears that you've got. He goes, that has touched my heart. And he says that faith came from your mother, Eunice, and it came from your grandmother, Lois. I think there's some things that are just fascinating about all this. Now, I want you to turn back to Acts 16 for a minute. Turn your Bibles there to Acts 16. Well, actually, you don't have to turn. We'll put some of this here on the screen. But I want you to hear verses 1 through 5. This is talking about Paul, and I want you to catch this time where Paul and Timothy first kind of meet. It says, Paul went on to Derbe and Lystra, where there was a disciple named Timothy, the son of a believing Jewish woman, but his father was a Greek. The brothers and sisters at Lystra and Iconium spoke highly of him. Paul wanted Timothy to go with him, so he took him and circumcised him because of the Jews who were in those places, since they all knew that his father was a Greek. As they traveled through the towns, they delivered the decisions reached by the apostles and the elders at Jerusalem for the people to observe. So the churches were strengthened in their faith, and they grew daily in numbers. Now, I love this picture here from it, because this is where we kind of first see Timothy. Okay, now, Timothy's mother, Eunice, she lives in Lystra, which is now modern-day Turkey, what we think of that. Now, she's this Jewish woman who has become a Christian. She has turned her faith over to Christ. Now, probably that has a large part to do with her own mother, Lois. But there's something going on in Eunice's family that I think is important that you see here. Twice, you see it mentioned that Timothy's father is a Greek. What that means, you kind of go, well, is this a race thing? This is the reason that this is mentioned in the book of Acts, that Luke mentions it. It's not so much a race thing as it is a belief thing. By saying that he's a Greek, and notice there that Dr. Luke here in writing Acts has already told us that his mother Eunice is a Christian. You know what? Timothy's dad isn't a Christian. This is Luke's way of kind of saying that here. So Timothy gets raised in a household where one believes that Jesus died and rose again from the grave and just loves him with all of her might. And his dad isn't there. His dad doesn't believe that. His dad is still struggling to come to grips with that. So he's raised in a Christian household with a mother that's a Christian and a father who isn't. And you know what? There's a lot of people in this day and age that fall into that category right there. Some of you mothers, some of you fathers as well, you're married to a spouse who doesn't believe. And it is really hard to raise your kids to know and love Jesus in that type of a situation, in that type of a scenario here. And so what you see here is that Eunice impacted Timothy, and she raised him to be someone who just loves God, right? In spite of the dad who doesn't believe. Do you kind of catch this picture here for a minute? You know, how do you be that incredible Christian influence in your house if you're a believer and your spouse isn't? Well, part of it is just don't compromise on your faith at all. Don't let Jesus get kicked out of your house. And the truth is that as a Christian parent, you are a bringer of hope that your son, that your daughter needs. And that doesn't disappear when they move out. They still need that hope. They still need that peace. You know, this week was one of those weeks where we realized just how much we all need hope. People were horrified when we hear about a young 25-year-old black man who gets gunned down by Caucasians. And he's just jogging in his neighborhood, and it's been really easy for us to just kind of blow up at that. The saddest part about all that is it didn't even come to light. The only reason it came to light, this happened 3 months ago, but we're just now hearing about it because of a video that was just released. But before this, it's just been silence, hasn't it? You know, the truth is that we're in a world that needs hope. And one of the greatest things as Christian parents that we get to do is we get to be hope bringers to our kids, to our community. Even Paul here, he's getting hope from looking at young Timothy. We are hope bringers. Do you know why we're hope bringers? Because hope has a name, and that name is Jesus. And we know Jesus, and we get to show the world Jesus living inside of us, and people get to see the difference that God makes when he looks at your life. Wives, husbands, moms, dads, if you've got someone in your family who isn't a Christian, love them, pray for them. Let them see the difference that Jesus makes inside of you, and it's amazing what all God does. But it's more than just about giving hope. It's about raising your family. It's about having influence on your family to understand the truth here. You know, one of the most favorite passages in all the Bible is 2 Timothy 3:16. We want to put that up here on the screen so you can see it. It says, let me turn there for a minute. It says, all scripture is inspired by God. Incidentally, this is just two chapters after where we're looking at in today in 2 Timothy 1. It says, all scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, for training in righteousness so that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. We love this verse, right? I love this picture here for a minute. You know what equips you, what gets you ready to do great things this week? It's this. It's this. It's the Word of God. Right? We know this passage and we go, look, we know that this word is inspired by God and it's useful to us. And it equips us to do great works. It equips us to do things this week. And here's Paul that wants to make sure that Timothy holds on to this word. And he goes, Timothy, man, this is the most important thing. This is essential. You've got to hang on to this because this is how you hang on to Jesus. And it's how you hang on to God. And it's how God works in your life and gets you ready for all the incredible things that God wants to do through you this week. And it all begins right here. We look at this verse, and it's easy to kind of just look at this verse as a standalone verse. But you have to go back to verse 14 because that's where Paul first starts talking about Scripture. Here's what he says in verse 14. But as for you, continue in what you've learned and firmly believed. Now, notice here for a minute. It says, let's just keep reading. You know that those who taught you, and you know from infancy, you have known the sacred Scriptures, which are able to give you wisdom for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. You kind of capture this for a minute? Paul goes, man, Timothy, you've got to hang on to this. It's going to get you ready for all the amazing things that God wants to do in your life. But when you go back to verse 14 and verse 15, he goes, look, you have been taught this since you were a child, since you were an infant, since you were a baby. Y'all, this word right here that is life-changing, this word that can equip you to do the most incredible things this week, this word get you prepared for all those incredible things that God wants to do, needs to be taught to our families. We tend to outsource that today, don't we? Man, as families, don't we tend to go, well, it's time to learn about the Bible. Let's go to church, right? That's not the picture that it should be. It's not about, let's go to church so we can learn about the Bible. The number one place that you should learn about this word is from your mom and dad, your grandmother, your grandfather, your brother, your sister, your son, your daughter. It's designed to be the family. That's where this is supposed to begin. And what does this do? Verse 16 says it equips you to do the good works. I want you to think back to your last week. Did you have a good week? If you're like me, you start answering that question, you start thinking about everything that happened to you to answer that question. Let me ask a little bit different question. Did you do good works this week? I don't want to answer that question, y'all. That's a lot more of a tough question, right? And if you didn't, it might just be that you weren't equipped to do it because you didn't lose yourself in this week. And here is Paul pointing out these two remarkable ladies, Lois and Eunice, that had an impact on Timothy and from a young age taught him of the power of this. It's amazing. Learn from what Lois and what Eunice said to Timothy. We don't know the words that they say. They don't get any speaking lines that we're aware of in Scripture. But what they did do was love. They had faith. They taught Scriptures to their son, their grandson, who inspired the greatest missionary that this world has ever seen. It's pretty amazing. You know, it's funny that I think a lot of us, we tend to, I don't want to be mean, but, you know, I want you to realize that you have an influence that can go on for generations. Notice here, this wasn't just Paul calling out Timothy's mother, but he was calling out his grandmother as well, too, because his grandmother helped form who he was. This is so important. This is huge, y'all, and I don't want you to kind of miss this here for a minute. You have the ability to influence generations to come with the way you handle your relationships. Not just your family relationships, but the way you handle your friendships, the way you handle your occupation, the way you are at your job, the way you are with your neighbors, the way you are with your Walmart checker truly, truly, truly has the ability to influence people for generations. I don't know why lately. Maybe it's been because it's Mother's Day, but one of my aunts had shared a picture of my grandmother. My mom's mother, she passed away when I was really young, and I never got to know her. And so this week, I actually saw this picture. I actually printed it up. This was my grandmother, you know, and I have no idea what year this is, but I had never got to see this lady with my own eyes, except for when I was really young and too young to remember. But I know that I am who I am today because this woman right here influenced my mother, who influenced me. I know that I am who I am today because my father's mother, Lois, ironically named Lois, influenced my dad. And she had an influence in my life. And I deeply, deeply loved her. Here's the thing that I want you to catch for a minute. Your influence can go on for generations. And here is Paul. He's approaching the end of his life. All of that's kind of, he's I almost see him kind of looking back and kind of like being that guy trying to pass on wisdom to someone else. And he's talking to Timothy here and he's dealing with all that. Can I tell you, this is where I said I'm trying to figure out how to say this nicely. You know the phrase that I hate in churches? You know that phrase that I hate? They go, well, it's time for me to step aside and let the young men take over, or let the young ladies take over, or let somebody else kind of do it. You want to know why I hate that phrase? Because what we do is that's just a more noble way of trying to feel good about wanting to step aside from something. We go, okay, well, I'm taking a space that someone else should be taking, someone younger. So I'm going to step aside and I'm going to let them come up and take this place. Now, if that's truly happening, then by all means, you need to step aside. But what we need is we need our older generations to mentor and bring alongside the younger generations. Not just go, I'm going to step aside and you take over this place. No, it's like, let me bring you in and let me show you how we do this. And we're going to do this together. What really happens is people are going, man, I am exhausted. I'm worn out. I'm tired. And I'm ready to retire from having to do this. But grandmothers out there, we need you. We do. Grandfathers, we need you. And you don't have, and what I mean by grandmother and grandfather, I mean the elder generation. We need you. It doesn't matter if we're your kids or your grandkids or not. We need you involved in Vacation Bible School. We need you involved in MOPS. We need you involved in hospitality teams and finance teams and personnel teams. We need you. Do you know why? Because God has designed you to mentor the younger generations and bring them to be who you are. That's the lesson I learned from Lois. It's a lesson I learned from Eunice. It's a lesson I learned from Paul. It's a lesson I learned from Timothy here. Remarkable things happen when we decide to do this together and we decide to bring other people alongside with us and serve with us. That's why I love that Paul goes, I love your faith, Timothy. The faith that I saw in your grandmother, the faith that I saw in your mother. Not like it's saying, well, your grandmother had it for a while, then she passed it on to your mom who took over for a little while, and Timothy. No, it's three generations who are loving God together. That's a picture of what a church should be. It's a picture of what a family should be. We have the remarkable thing to influence generations to come. Not just even blood relatives, not just even family, but everybody we see today, everyone we see tomorrow, everyone we see Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday is in need of the God that you love and know. They're in need of the hope that only Jesus can give. And our job is to share that. That's the lesson I learned from these remarkable ladies and this remarkable young man who gets told by Paul, don't let people look down on you because of your age, because it's not about your age. It's about the God that's inside of you. So let this word of God equip you to do those good works, no matter what your age is. And that's the lesson for us. So as our worship team's coming up, let's bow, let's have a word of prayer. And let's just spend a moment just praying. Father, we thank you for how you work. We thank you that you use us. I love what was it, Spurgeon that said, that God takes us poor smudges of paint and makes something beautiful out of us. Thank you that you take our lives, that you mold us, that you shape us. You have called us to do incredible, remarkable things this week, and you're going to equip us. You're going to get us ready for that. So help us to do our part to be ready for that. Help us to spend time reading our word this week. Help us to spend time encouraging and lifting each other up. So that way we can all be doing our part. We can do those incredible things that you have laid out for us this week. You've prepared amazing things for us this week. Let's live up to them, Father. Help us to do what we can to live up to that. For your name we pray. Amen.